With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Vinny and Haney, two opposites attracted by a paycheck. 105.7 The Fan.
Orioles, Toronto tonight, 705 Camden Yards. Birds lose yesterday 8-1 to the Pittsburgh Pirates. Do win the series, however. 2-1 at a 5-game winning streak through all of the drama that was the trade deadline. Now you get ready for the Blue Jays, trying to creep closer to them in the wild card chase in the American League. It's Vinny and Haney, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw on the other side of the glass. Joining us now to preview the series against the Blue Jays. Look at the team as they stand. 2 games out of the wild card from MLB.com. He covers the Orioles. He is on the Regency Furniture Hotline. Let's welcome back to the show, Zachary Silver. Zach, good morning. Thanks for joining us as always.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
All right, now Brandon Hyde was running hot over the interference call with Robinson Chirinos at the plate, which tacked on a run, then the inning kind of got away from him. Your thoughts on the rule itself, I guess, for you, Zachary Silver. We saw even more drama in Minnesota with the Blue Jays and Twins there. The rule itself implemented basically because Buster Posey got blew up way back when. Are you fine with the rule, understanding the player safety aspect of it?
Yeah, certainly I understand the nature of the rule, why it is in place. Kind of the frustration from Brandon Hyde and the Orioles is that it's not a call they can even really talk to the umpire and crew about. It's a call that comes from New York. It's a call that they can't really get an explanation on. It's something that kind of gets fed to the umpires from New York on such a bang-bang play like that. So that's kind of where the frustration came from. There wasn't much there that they thought Robinson Chirinos could have done differently, and yet they still didn't really get much of an explanation on the field. And that's all Brandon Hyde wanted. He wanted to come out and try to appeal the call, and they ejected him. So actually, the play in Minnesota was a little bit more sort of controversial. I think Robinson was blocking play a little bit, but it's just hard for him to know what to do with all these new rules. So it was an awkward sequence, and obviously the Birds are getting a sweep.
After the trade deadline, Trey Mancini was traded a week ago today to Houston, and he's hit 3 home runs for the Astros already. 5-1 during that whole week. You were around the team, the clubhouse. I know there was some angst and sadness losing a couple of teammates, Jorge Lopez included. But are you surprised at all that the Orioles responded the way that they did?
There was some unhappiness with how everything went down. It's kind of tough messaging for a team that's in contention to take away 2 of its best players, 2 of its biggest leaders, and kind of just shift the onus onto another set of people. Mike Elias said that, internally they didn't see much there as far as prospects for a playoff spot. And, this team has really impressed. So, they kind of have to set some of those likelihoods and probabilities aside. But, in a pure baseball sense, the moves did make some sense. Obviously they traded Cole Sulcer and Tanner Scott before this regular season, and they're able to find someone like Jorge Lopez, and they think they can find someone like Felix Bautista now who can take the role with pretty much ease. And, Mancini was obviously a great player here and is very well respected still, but they feel like they can kind of replicate some of that production. And obviously in the final year of a guaranteed contract, Mike Elias was referring to him as a free agent this offseason, even though it's not a given that he's a free agent. He does have that, mutual option for next year. And who knows, maybe the Astros do pick that up and then they both execute it. Trey obviously could not want it to get a longer-term deal. But it's an interesting sort of week with the team because they kind of had these huge losses, yet they found a 5-game winning streak out of it. Granted, they weren't playing the stiffest of competition. These are probably maybe the easiest week they'll have the whole rest of the season. But it was definitely an interesting occurrence with kind of how tough a hand they're dealt, and yet they still find ways to win.
You know, with Hayes out of the lineup, the biggest concern that I have there, you know, the biggest thing they missed to me, he's got that gun, you know, and he holds runners, and, you know, that's the biggest thing that I miss is, you know, that they hit it to him. People aren't running on him because he got that howitzer.
Yeah. I mean, Brett Phillips obviously was brought in for his defense, and he is a plus defender as far as tracking balls down and sort of with his glove. His arm isn't as strong as his other tools out there. But, yeah, Austin Hayes, you know, he's kind of like the looming threat of Austin Hayes, where you hit a ball to left field and the players and, you know, third base coach is there. He's probably not going to send a player home. With Brett Phillips, it might be a little different. With Cedric, you know, he actually does have a high amount of outfield assists, but his arm strength has been a little bit off from past years. So certainly the threat of Austin Hayes looms. And maybe, you know, this little reset he has can get him going in the box a little bit, because ever since he hit that cycle in June, July, it's been a bit of a downturn for him.
Yeah, and I was telling Bob this morning, you know, a guy, because, like, I saw him one time and I didn't like him, but Vavra kind of grows on you the more you watch him, because he's a really smart guy, versatile guy, and I like the play that he made yesterday. It was very heads-up play, very smart, instinctive play made yesterday.
Yeah, he's definitely learning as he comes. It's been an interesting run with him. He had a couple games where he was trying to get his feet wet, and then he has a couple games where he really can't, you know, make it out, and now he has a couple games where, you know, two games obviously is another small sample, but he's had, you know, trouble getting on base today and yesterday, or yesterday and Saturday. So it's just going to kind of be the ebbs and flows of him. I mean, it was interesting yesterday in the sixth inning or so, they pinch hit for him, they pinch hit Urias for him, and while I understand Hyde was going for the lefty-righty matchup, you know, it's a guy you're taking two at-bats away from. So, you know, they kind of feel like they've babied him into this role a little bit. You know, first when he got called up, Hyde said he'll play when he plays, and now it seems like they're finding opportunities for him to play. And, you know, that was part of the calculus with Mancini, is that, you know, he's gone to Houston, and you get more opportunities for some younger guys to play. And, you know, that is another conversation, if it's worth just to give younger guys playing time for playing time's sake, or it's worth kind of playing the best competitive team out there every single day. And I do feel like they are doing that to a certain extent. But, you know, guys like Karen Vavra, you know, eventually Kyle Sowers will be up here to get opportunities, and that's kind of, you know, be interesting to see just how this team sort of looks as a future prospect.
Zachary Silver covers the Orioles for MLB.com, Orioles.com, here on Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Zach, before we let you enjoy the hot and humidity of this heat and humidity of this Monday in Charm City before the game, it's Toronto. They're coming to town. Orioles are chasing them. Orioles, breathing down the necks a little bit of the Blue Jays. Gausman, we're going to miss him because he pitched yesterday, but still Manoah and Barrios, Kikuchi tonight. Preview this series a little bit for us from an Orioles pitching perspective, trying to match up with those three.
Yeah, you got Jordan Lyles going today, Kyle Brash going tomorrow, and Dean Kramer going on Wednesday. So, you know, I guess for all intents and purposes, those are your top three pitchers, even though Austin Voth and Spencer Watkins have pitched capably in the last couple months. I don't know. I mean, that's tough. If this team really wants to be competitive, it is tough to say Jordan Lyles is your number one, Kyle Brash is your number two, and Dean Kramer is number three. I mean, all of them have had these spurts of really good performances, you know, especially when Dean Kramer came off the injured list initially. Jordan Lyles is going to eat those innings. He's going to be the bulldog you want him to be, and Kyle Brash has looked much better than he did before he came off the injured list. So it is going to be an interesting way to see how they attack some of these hitters, like Guerrero, Teoscar Hernandez, the heavy hitters in Blue Jays lineup. But this is the first time Toronto's coming to Baltimore this year. They're supposed to be here at the beginning of the season before the lockout pushed back to the games. And they got 15 games against Toronto before the season's over. So, and I don't think this series itself is going to make or break the rest of the year, but certainly you got, you know, I think the Orioles have the third hardest schedule from here on out, and a lot of it has to do with how many games are left against Toronto. So this is going to be kind of the little table setter for some of the rest of the year.
Zachary Silver, MLB.com, covers the Orioles. Zachary, appreciate the time. Enjoy the series this week against the Toronto Blue Jays down at Camden Yards.
Yeah, we'll do. I was catching my breath earlier when the committee was up for a walk. So
I'm definitely going to have to get that. No pain, no gain.
Yeah.
How much you bet?
You and Filele need to get in shape together.
All right, Zachary Silver, MLB.com. Orioles take it on the Toronto Blue Jays tonight. Be nice to see Orion Mountcastle get off the schneid. He hasn't hit a home run in a long, long time. Had a brutal July. August hasn't been that much better. He and Hayes combined for two home runs in the month of July.
Bob, you know who he reminds me of? And you watched... Draft day, right?
No, it was Trouble with the Curve.
Oh, Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, that
you
movie.
Feel lucky.
The guy who was playing the GM that looks just like Mountcastle, I think.
Well, right now he's hitting like Mountcastle as well. We'll come back. It's the whip around. What's going on? World of sports that we talked about, what you missed over the weekend. We'll get some baseball scores in here. Some historic events as well. Cordell Woodland, our Ravens and Orioles reporter here on 105.7 The Fan. He'll join us at the bottom of the hour. Preview camp in Pats today, 1:35. Ravens back at it. One winning drive. And then a funhouse trip with Nolan McGraw. Don't forget, Baltimore baseball tonight. Me and Mike Bordick along with Nolan down at Pickles. Starts at 6. Come down, say hello.
Vinny and Haney's Whip Around. Today's biggest headlines. 105.7 The Fan.
Top of the whip around, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Monday. Major League Baseball yesterday. Scores that have an impact on what the Orioles may or may not do when it comes to the postseason. Well, you got, you know, Tampa taking on Detroit, and it was a nice, tidy, scoreless game until the ninth, and then all of a sudden it wasn't.
And ball four is down and in, and that's going to force home the first run of this game. Paredes crosses the plate. Chang will pick up the run batted in.
Pitch on the way. He's walked another. Ball four. Mejia scores. 2-0 Rays in the ninth. And the gifts keep coming from the Detroit Tigers.
And Bally Sports on the call. Turned out to be a 7-0 runaway for the Tampa Bay Rays over the Tigers. As you heard, two runs. Bases loaded, walks leading to the cause. So Tampa gets a big win in Detroit. Now, in Minnesota, we talked about the controversy at Camden Yards with the Orioles and the Pirates yesterday. Robinson Chirinos blocking the play. Well, Gary Sanchez involved in some drama against the Blue Jays late in that matchup.
Biggio in the air to left. Beckham setting up, not deep. Here's the catch. Here comes Merrifield. Out at the plate.
Call on the field is overturned.
Rocco Baldelli is livid.
Rocco Baldelli continued to be livid during that sequence after the game, basically saying it's the worst umpiring he has seen in quite some time. Not necessarily blasting the guys on the field, napalm in New York for overturning the call. I mean, it's a baseball play that's been made for literally over 100 years. The rules have changed under the, you know, the player safety.
Right.
Edict, and then we get all that. But, you know, come on. I mean, it's a common sense thing. I mean, Gary Sanchez is there. He's blocked the plate. Toronto runner didn't even sniff home. I mean, he stoned him both legs. See you later. Don't even try.
You think that...
I mean, it's a common... To me, it's just like a common sense situation.
Yeah. I mean, to me, I didn't even think twice about it. Now, Bob, if they hadn't overturned it, does the Toronto manager go haywire?
Probably. Because you're not supposed to. Once they rule with replay, you're supposed to accept the ruling. And you saw Brandon Hyde and Rocco Baldelli did not.
And both got
and I'm
adios.
Guessing the interim in Toronto probably would have gone ballistic himself. But the Blue Jays wind up winning that game 3-2. And now they're in Baltimore taking on the Orioles, starting a three-game series tonight. Other games relating to the Orioles and the wild card. Cleveland won zip over Houston. Kansas City blows out Boston 13-5. White Sox over Texas 8-2. It was Seattle over the hapless Angels 6-3. Your updated wildcard standings are as follows here on this August the 8th. Mm-hmm. August the 8th. We've already played a preseason football game, and we have a whole schedule of them coming up this week. Toronto 60-48. They're two up. Tampa 58-50. They're in a position of strength right now, as is Seattle 59-51. Cleveland and the Orioles identical 56-52 records, both two games back. White Sox are three off at 55-53, and the Red Sox still kind of sort of clanking around, Vinny, 54-56. Orioles will see them Thursday in a one game matinee later in the week, but Red Sox, well, it's a night game, actually, but 54-56, they're five games out. Red Sox, I don't want to say they're done, Talked about it last week. But I'd rather be the Orioles than where Boston is.
Boston feels like they're heading south, and the Orioles, you know.
Yeah.
If the Orioles, Bob, if they win 2 of 3, you know, they're sitting one game out of the top wild card spot.
Right, and then you get a home game in the playoffs. Because right now the last 2 wild card teams, 5 and 6, do not get home games. At least if I'm reading that correctly with these updated playoff scenarios and the rules in the majors. It's the whipper out here. On this Monday, Hall of Fame weekend was this past Saturday. Vinny was there. Bryant Young, among others, got in. But on this day, in 2004, John Elway, Barry Sanders, Carl Eller, and Bob Brown were inducted into Canton, Ohio. John Elway, my favorite non-Baltimore football player of all time. And Barry Sanders, one of the greatest running backs ever. And Carl Eller,
number 81,
part of the Purple People Eaters.
Yeah.
4 Super Bowls, one of the great sack guys in an era where they didn't even keep sacks as a statistic. Bob Brown, one of the great offensive.
Bob, Page and Eller, is Larson and Marshall are not in, right?
No.
Of the Purple People Eaters?
Page is in. Eller, obviously, is in. And
Krause.
Paul Krause is in. And I think that might be it for that defense.
Yeah.
Now, Fran Tarkenton's in, Ron Yeary's in, Tinglehoff. I mean, some of the guys from their offensive side. But John Elway, what did you think of him, Vinny, watching him up close and personal performing? And left on a high note, mic drop, won a Super Bowl in his last game.
Oh, and anytime, I mean, Bob, we played him, he was awesome. You know, the thing I remember most, like we went when I was Niners. We went and played Denver in Tokyo and just watched, you know, because then I got a chance to watch him like practice. And I mean, that dude, the gun that he had, he could just throw it, you know. I mean, he was fun to watch.
This day in Orioles history, August the 8th, 1976, Yankee Stadium in New York. Lee May had 2 ribbies. Reggie Jackson went yard, a couple ribbies himself. Tony Muser also had 2. As Ross Grimsley beat Catfish Hunter. As the Orioles beat the Yankees 8-5, 1989. Memorial Stadium in Baltimore, 6-1 over the Twins. Mike Devereaux, 2-for-4, 3 ribbies. Cal Ripken, Joe Ursulak, Rene Gonzalez also drove in runs. Dave Johnson threw a complete game to get the win there. 1997, Orioles against the Angels out in the Big A in Anaheim. Mike Bordick, who will be joining us tonight on Baltimore Baseball Tonight, he won yard. Harold Payne's 2 ribbies. Chris Hoyle's knocked in a couple as the Orioles win that one 6-2. Mike Mussina got the win. Randy Myers, his 33rd save. 2012, Norm, you were alive. Orioles beat Seattle. Oriole Park added yards. Mark Reynolds, Nick Markakis went yard. Matt Wieters drove in 5. Steve Johnson, Dave's son, got the win as the Orioles got the W there. And in 2014, Oriole Park added yards. 12-2 over St. Louis Cardinals. Manny Machado, Adam Jones, Chris Davis, Ryan Flaherty, and J.J. Hardy all want yard. Hardy had 2 bombs as Chris Tillman picked up his 9th win of the season, and the Orioles blow out the Cardinals 12-2 on their way to the American League's Eastern Division Championship. We have time for a call, Nolan. You make the call. Let's go out to the phones. Cordell joins us next. Cordell Woodland previewing Ravens camp this week. 135 out of 1 winning drive. Let's go to Baltimore. It's William. William, you're on the fan with Vinny and Haney.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. Hey, William.
Okay, I'm going to make my point, and then I'm going to hang up and listen to y'all response. What I want to talk about is the Oriole offense. I like the pitching. I think they got enough pitching to easily get in the playoffs. But I got some problems with the offense, and I'm going to start with 2 or 3, and then I'm going to listen to your guys' response. First of all, I think Mateo should be batting 2nd, and Rutschman 3rd, and Taron Vagra 4th, because Rutschman and Vagra,
Vavra.
They got Vavra at the plate. Vavra.
Vagra. Viagra. It's not Viagra.
Viagra.
Vavra. What do you got on your mind?
Taron Vavra.
Viagra? Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right. I hear you working.
Okay, but Rutschman and Vagra got discipline at the plate.
Why not?
If you get Mateo and Mullins in front of these guys, they will slap at the ball, do anything to get the bat on the ball, as opposed to Mountcastle, who's swinging like a wild man at this time. Now, another thing, they need a good pinch hitter coming off the bench. Years ago, we had Dave Philly, Terry Crowley, Kurt Moten, Delmon Young. All these guys had a decent average. If we look at the Oriole bench now, we see Dave Phillips, a 150 hitter sitting on a bench. The catcher, Robinson Cerino, a 195 hitter sitting on a bench. We need a guy coming off a bench that can clutch hit, period. And I'm going to listen to you guys' response.
All right, William.
How about one on the regular bench that can clutch hit too, Bob?
Well, I'm still figuring out who this Terran Viagra is.
And yeah, he's a stiff.
There you go. Hi-o! Yes! Don't forget to tip your waitresses, ladies and gentlemen. And with all due respect to you, William, there's no way Terran Viagra is your cleanup hitter.
Right.
I mean, you put in, and Keith Rutschman's been excelling in the two-hole there. And Mateo is showing a little pop here.
Yeah.
Now double-digit home runs. But Terran Viagra, he's the new favorite player, certainly, for a lot of players here in the fans in Baltimore. We'll come back. Cordell Woodland talking Ravens.
The wait is over.
Pulls the trigger, throws to the end zone. Caught by Andrews. Touchdown.
Your home for total training camp coverage. 105.7 The Fan.
Ravens back at it today. 135, one winning drive. Training camp 2022, 3 days away. Preseason opener against the Tennessee Titans. It's Vinny and Haney joining us now to preview today's practice and look back at what was last week and last weekend. He's our Orioles and Ravens reporter joining us on the Regency Furniture Hotline. Let's say hi to Cordell Woodland. Cordell, good morning. What's going on, man?
What's going on, fellas?
All right, let's start. A couple of guys I want to ask you about that maybe we haven't spoken about too much. But Justin Madubuike, year three, hopefully a breakout year, but again, haven't really heard much about him. And Dalen Hayes, the second-year linebacker out of Notre Dame with the injuries that have hit the Ravens at that position and other guys still coming back from said injury. So give us the Cordell Woodland scouting report on Justin Madubuike and Dalen Hayes on what you've seen so far.
Well, Madubuike, I'm one of those people that's still waiting to see him kind of take it to the next step and flash to me more than he has. I mean, I think as a whole, this defensive front has been solid when it comes to the run stopping for the most part. There has been some holes that guys like Beatty and even Mike Davis has taken advantage of it a couple of times in practice. But for the most part, they've been pretty consistent, including Justin Madubuike, with being, you know, making a huge impact in the stopping the run. Now, the passing game is still a work in progress, I think. I haven't really seen Madubuike flash a lot in the pass rush situations. I mean, there's been a lot of Travis Jones in there. So I'm curious to see how often he's out there in pass rush situations and if he can continue to try to make that a stronger part of his game. Dalen Hayes is the same. I mean, honestly, outside of guys like Owe in Houston, even Vince Beagle, but when he was playing, flashed a couple of times and you know, creating pressure from the outside. But Dalen Hayes, maybe once or twice to my eye, I've seen it to this point, but he's another one that I'm kind of looking for to take that next step, especially now with the injury to Vince Beagle, who was out there quite a bit. I'm kind of surprised to hear Hart's kind of, you know, downplay what his potential role to the team was going to be. Made it sound like he was fighting for a roster spot, and maybe he was, but he was out there quite a bit. So I don't necessarily know how I feel about that. But Dalen Hayes, you would hope that with all these guys injured right now at the outside linebacker position, he would be one of the people to kind of take advantage of the opportunity in front of him. And to this point, I can't say that he had.
Now, Cordell, is Dobbin, you know, kind of hurt? You know, Dobbins wants to practice today. Is he going to be there when we're there today?
Well, I've been seeing some of that same stuff, Vinny. I got to see it to believe it, man. I mean, you know, Dobbins has said his fair share of things so far this offseason about how good he thinks he feels and what he feels like his playing status should be. But Hobbs has made it clear he's going to go at the pace that the doctors have told him to go. And maybe that does include bringing him back this week. I think that there's reason to be optimistic that Dobbins is on his way back. I do think he is. Now, how soon we'll see him back out there in pads and, you know, practicing, I don't know. We may see him out there today. Now, I can't say that we'll see him practicing. We may see him begging to get into the practice drill. But will we see him practice today or tomorrow? I'm not exactly sure. It'd be great to see him, though. It'd be great to see him out there. I hope that we do get to see him, but I can't say with any certainty that I expect to see him today.
Think we see Duvernay and Bateman today?
It'd be nice. Duvernay came back on Saturday. Bateman missed his first day on Saturday. It'd be nice to get these, you know, all the wide receivers back out there together. I'm not really concerned about either of them long term. So, right. You know, if we don't see them, I think it's just them continuing their pattern of trying to play it safe and not rush anybody back, especially with how hot it was at least last week. We'll see how hot it is this week. But I wouldn't be surprised to see both of those guys out there. Again, it didn't sound like either of them had major injury issues. Bateman sounds like more of a nagging situation, I think a soft tissue injury. So if not today, maybe tomorrow. But it's not like we're going to see either of these guys play Thursday night. So I'm not really worried about it in that concern. But, yeah, it would be nice to see them both back out there practicing together.
All right. On Thursday night, speaking of Thursday night, Cordell, when you're sitting up there in the press box, who are you going to have the binoculars on? Who are you most anxious to watch, or what battle are you most anxious to watch?
Well, I'm definitely anxious to see Tyler Beatty in an actual game. I want to see what he's able to do and how much that translates, how much his success in practice will translate to a game. Same with Isaiah Likely, assuming he plays, which I would imagine he would. You got to play somebody. Ball and Andrews most likely are not playing. I know Andrews isn't playing. I would be surprised if Boyle plays. Isaiah Likely's got to be out there for at least a series or two. He's another one that's been so great in practice. I want to see how it translates to the game. Also, on the defensive side, Kyle Hamilton. I don't think he's to the point to where they can just afford to not play him in a preseason game. So I would expect to see him out there. I want to see what he does, especially if he could potentially be the guy wearing the dot for this first preseason game, because Marcus Williams isn't going to play. I don't know how much Chuck Clark is going to play. Somebody's got to do it. Patrick Queen's probably not going to play. So I want to see what Kyle Hamilton's able to do out there, as well as Travis Jones on the front line. I think he's going to get a lot of playing time with guys like Calais and Matt Abike, and probably Michael Pierce won't be playing. I would expect Travis Jones to get a lot of playing time on in the middle of that defensive line, and I want to see if he can wreak havoc out there.
Now, Cordell, I mean, Harps came out and said, what, the four or five guys are definitely not playing?
Yeah.
The others got to be playing. So, I mean, at least a core. I think all the other guys are probably going to be playing some. You know, I mean, Duvernay's got to play. I mean, they got to find out. You know what I mean? And Bateman, he's got to play a few series.
I don't know if these guys play week one. I honestly would be super surprised, especially with Duvernay just missing a whole week and he just came back Saturday. I just don't know if they're going to throw him out there. Same with Bateman, who we don't even know if he's going to practice today. You know, I don't know if they're going to want to throw them out there for the first preseason game. Now, if we get to the second one, I think we will eventually possibly see some of these guys. I don't expect to see Lamar. I don't expect to see Mark Andrews. Like, the guys that we don't have to worry about, I don't know if we'll see them. And Rashad Bateman might be in that group. Duvernay, I'm with you at some point. I do want to see him out there. I just think because he's kind of been recovering from his thigh issue over the last week, I don't know if they play this Thursday. But the second preseason game, I do expect to see a couple more starters, but still not the veteran guys as well as the mix of the guys that we have no business seeing on the field in the preseason, guys like Lamar and Mark Andrews.
Cordell Woodland, Orioles Ravens reporter, 105.7 The Fan. Cordell, appreciate the time as always. Have fun out of training camp today. Maybe I'll see you down at Camden Yards tonight.
Nice. I'll see you guys later.
I'll see you this afternoon.
Cordell Woodland out there at one winning drive with the Ravens getting ready for practice. 135, Rashad Bateman, soft tissue. Mm-hmm. Soft tissue issue. Will he be there today? And if he's not, do we start worrying? Or no, just proceed with caution.
I would say if he's guessing. if he's not practicing today, Bob, I would say the chances of him playing Thursday are none.
Slim and none. And Slim left town. When we come back, how about a funhouse trip? Nolan McGraw. News from the Nets coming up top of the hour. Going to hear from John Harbaugh and others. Talking about the Ravens. Where's the early week money? We'll find out at 12:15 with Buy or Sell. And then Joe Dannemann, Fox 19, talking about the Cincinnati Bengals. Oh, remember them? They're the defending AFC champions.
At the stadium, Vinny schmoozes in luxury suites.
From the left, dear, one serves from the left.
Whatever's gotten into you, Calpurnia?
Haney post up in the bleachers.
You're all garbage! All of you!
The only place to catch Vinny and Haney together is on 105.7 The Fan.
Ian Rappaport reporting things, NFL Network on Twitter. Tyler Linderbaum, Ravens rookie center, starting center, let's stress that.
Yep.
Dealing with a Liz Frank injury. Mike Garafolo, also NFL Network, saying that the time frame for his possible return is still the same. Maybe 2 weeks. If this was a rupture, not a sprain, he'd be done for the year. Had a Liz Frank injury at Iowa as well. So Ravens decimated by injuries in 2021, as we know. Ravens did everything they could to change things to kind of prevent injuries from happening, but it's football. You can't avoid injuries in the National Football League. It's a contact sport. It's part of the equation. And he got stepped on, Vinny, because you were there and you saw it. But Liz Frank sounds a little more ominous than an ankle or a foot sprain. This is kind of foot sprain on steroids, correct?
Yeah, it says, I pulled it up, Bob. It says, Liz Frank, midfoot injuries result if bones in the midfoot are broken or ligaments that support the midfoot are torn. The severity of a Liz Frank injury can vary widely from a simple injury involving one midfoot joint to a complex injury involving many midfoot joints and broken bones. And it says they can be easily mistaken for a sprain, especially if the injury is a result of a straightforward twist and fall. However, injury to the Liz Frank joint is not a simple sprain that should be walked off or expected to heal quickly. Even a simple Liz Frank injury is a severe injury that may take many months to heal or may require surgery to treat.
So, concerning news, let's just say that. We're not ready to start pushing panic buttons or anything of the sort, but you know, it's not news you want to hear on the eve of your preseason opener. He's not hurt. Is he playing Thursday?
No. Bob, here it says, commonly seen in football when one player lands on the back of another player's foot while the foot is flexed downward in the push-off position. You know, so that's how it happens.
So that stinks.
Yeah.
But we will proceed with caution, as I'm sure the Ravens will.
Oh, no doubt.
Also with Tyler Linderbaum. Let's bring Norm in here. Nolan McGraw, how was your weekend? What's going on?
That's some bad news there, but some good news.
Oh, yeah?
We'll lighten the mood here for the Orioles. Just saw this. Baseball America has their new rankings out post draft here in 2022. And guess who's the number one prospect, according to
Gunnar Henderson?
That is correct. How about that? So it seems like they lose a guy, graduates. Adley Rutschman was the number one for so long. He graduates. Another guy steps right in.
Yeah, Gunnar went deep Friday, I think. Had a couple of knocks on Saturday, so he continues to bash at a baseball. See ball, hit ball. Do you think, Gunnar Henderson, playing shortstop still down on the farm?
No third base
at
yet.
Norfolk. So Santander was working on a little bit at first base. So who knows, maybe he'll get the old first baseman's mitt at the major league level moving forward here. But we'll talk more about the Orioles. We got Mike Bordick tonight down at Baltimore Baseball tonight. Me and Bordy, Oriole Hall of Famer, along with Nolan Pickles, 6 o'clock. We'll preview the Orioles and Blue Jays coming up here, game one at 1:15. But let's go to the Funhouse for the first time this week. I'm very excited for this trip.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that Quick Draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Start with Jeff here not very optimistic about the Orioles, says by the end of the week, he'll be able to take playoffs out of the Orioles' vocabulary. Plenty of games against the Blue Jays on the horizon. I see many, many home runs by the Blue Jays in the future.
It's possible. Can the Orioles match them, though, in that category? Not the way that Hayes and Mountcastle have been going as of late. But let me break a cliche out. That's why they play the games. Starting tonight at 7:05.
Yeah.
Another one here says, are the Orioles still going to commit to shutting Grayson down for all of 2022? Or if they're in the wild card race till the last week of the season, do you think he comes up and gets a taste?
I'm guessing no. He was throwing what? Off flat ground a couple of weeks ago. I mean, what was it? The strain lat? So you're still Grayson Rodriguez. You're worried about him coming into your rotation 2023 when you're really viewing yourselves as realistic playoff contenders. I would be shocked if Grayson Rodriguez pitches for the Orioles or anybody at any time this season.
Joe in Baltimore here saying, sad to see that Adam Jones wasn't there on Saturday for the 30th anniversary celebration. Also would have been great to see guys like Surhoff, Melvin Mora. I mean, these points out here, Ubaldo was even invited. To not have AJ there, disgraceful.
Yeah, Adam Jones, probably the most synonymous Camden Yards player of the recent Oriole vintage. Cal, I mean, we all know what he accomplished at Memorial Stadium and at Camden Yards, but there's a lot of guys over the course of 30 years that played for the Orioles there who weren't part of the 30th anniversary celebration. Brooks Robinson was, so was Eddie Murray, Mike Messina. Good to see them. They're pretty famous dudes.
And we'll close with one from Michelle here saying, hopefully, and her guess here, the Ravens moving their training camp practice time will more so mirror the regular season start times, early afternoon, 1 o'clock, at least early in September. You'll be playing in some heat there on Sundays, so this should prepare them well.
Sure. I'll buy that. You know, I don't think that's the reasoning, you know. But
what, Harbsy getting them acclimated to 1 o'clock kickoffs?
I don't think so.
I think it's more to it. But yeah. You know, I hear the text are working. Maybe yeah. That is part of the equation. And then in September, they're playing what? Open in the Meadowlands. Gonna be hot.
Yes. Turf.
Here against Miami, gonna be hot.
Yeah.
Even New England and Buffalo. Buffalo's here, and then they're in Foxborough. I mean, it's, you know, in November, it's a different can of worms. In September, I mean, you're looking at 70-plus, 80-degree kickoff times there.
No doubt. And it's going to be humid, probably, especially, you know, 1 o'clock games, even 4 o'clock games. Like today, Bob, it's right now, Owens Mills, it feels like 99.
It's going to feel like over 100 down at Pickles tonight. And that's at 6 o'clock. It's Vinny and Haney.
How would you like to be wearing pads?
I would not like to be wearing pads. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. News from the Nats. Going to hear from John Harbaugh. Met with the media on Saturday. Had some interesting things to say about his team. And then where's our early week money? We'll talk about that, buy or sell, at 12:15. Hopefully we got some cash to start our week. Joe Dannemann, 12:30, covers the Cincinnati Bengals for Fox 19. And he worries of a Super Bowl hangover. The team that loses the Super Bowl usually takes a step back the following year. Will Cincinnati be part of that equation? We'll talk to Joe about that and more here on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.